Chris McCleary with us. He heads up the National Dream Center. We're going to take your phone calls, questions, and your dream stories. What are you dreaming? What do you feel? What could be out there? Now, we're not interpreting your dreams. We're not doing that. But we will take your dream stories. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. We'll take your phone calls, your stories. Chris McCleary with us as we talk about the National Dream Center and some of the things that he has been doing. What do people do at the National Dream Center, Chris? And how can anybody participate if they can?
We have since grown, since we've taken over the National Dream Center from George Uhr. It's grown into a small working staff, volunteers at this point, and we have dream work added. Eventually, we're going to get to a nonprofit organization that's further down the road, especially depending on how the results from Project August come out. And we have lots of ways that people can participate. We're looking for volunteers that can look at the precognitive dreams that are submitted and then compare that to what the trending news is to see if some of that stuff matches up. Because we just don't have the time and the manpower to do the Project August, you know, all these other dream forecasting projects. And then Project August itself, if you're an advanced lucid dreamer or advanced dreamer of any sort, we want you. And if you're barely remembering your dreams, we want you for Project August. Anybody can participate, especially the overseas people. We don't have very much representation in other countries, and this is a international global project. So we would like to know what's going to happen in other countries.
Do they email you this information, Chris?
It's in the you just go to the main site, and you've got a drop-down menu for Project August, and it'll show you.
We'll probably end up shutting it down by the massive amount of people.
That's great, because I would like to clean up just really quick some of the stuff I think that I didn't finish, and it kind of probably came off confusing, is that the Project August, the concept itself started to help my wife, help her figure out which parts of the dream were going to come true.
Of the two or three she had a week.
Exactly, yeah, okay. Or more. And what it ended up being is an honest assessment that I think we can help humanity with this thing. If we can accurately predict with credibility what the future holds, then we can actually go out as a collective and pick and choose which futures we want based on what the highest probability is.
Can we change the future?
Absolutely. That's the beauty of it. We already have.
Free will can alter the future.
The future is not set. It's just a list of probabilities.
You're one of the few people who believes that. I think that's pretty good. I mean, I would love to be able to control the future and change it.
Well, I contend that our dreams are our future. And I've got hard fact rules. It would take a long time to go through those. But the dreams, I mean, our collective dreams equals our future.
All right. Now, when George was doing all this, as he was a web botter, of course, they came up with incredible information. Are you carrying that torch then for him?
Okay, great question, because he's kind of more Nostrakotis, kind of web-bot-ish, looking at, you know, news stuff. And I'm scouring the internet for hundreds and thousands of dream content.
Okay.
It's completely different. But here's the thing. I can't be right 100% of the time, and he can't probably be right 100%
of
the time.
Of course
not. The combination, I think, is going to be absolutely stunning. So if we can get it fine-tuned to where we're all looking, and if we add maybe some other methods of looking into the future and kind of overlapping.
One more question before we take calls, Chris. If you saw something from dreams of just incredible, catastrophic means, whether it was to an individual or to all of us, would you say something?
Wow, what a great question, because we already have. We had a high level person get in an accident and be killed in a dream recently, and the dreamer almost didn't put it in. And synchronistically, I did a case study on a beautiful story that one of my contributors wrote, and we posted on the website, but I analyzed it as a case study in precognitive dreaming because she regretted not telling the person about their health condition. And he died, and she kind of regretted that.
Okay.
And so the dreamer, on that day she had the dream, she looked at my case study and said, well, there you go. I have to submit it. So she submits it. I end up calling the high-level person because I assess. Now, there's a whole thing. You don't just automatically tell the person like that because there's a whole checklist that you got to go over. First of all, the person has to be receptive to it, because if they're not receptive, then catastrophe can happen to them. They can actually create that themselves by the fear.
All right, let's go to the calls for you here. West of the Rockies, Mike in Normandy Park, Washington. You're on the air with us, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, George.
Hi, Mike. Morning to you, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'll make this quick. I had a dream, and I'll just, when you were talking about China, I had a dream of a banner, like a banner out in outer space. And the closer I got to this banner, it was red and yellow. And so I knew it was China. In my dream, I knew that. And so I was thinking, he touched on maybe they win the space race or something like that. But let me just say this. The band you were talking about might be Van Jones dealing drugs to a bunch of Hollywood stars. But, hey, thanks, George. You have a great evening.
All right, my friend. Be well. You never know. You never know.
That's great. I'd say please submit that into our database. We have it. Did I mention that? We have a database for these sorts of dreams.
How many dreams can you handle?
That's a good question. We're in the thousands now. So if I am going to probably have to switch it over because it just can't handle the regular dreams, the regular precognitive dreams, and our projects all at the same time.
Do you record the dreams by demographics, male, female, ages, young people, older people, or anything like that?
Not yet. It's just basically a title, a date, the dreamer, and the content.
Okay. I think if you start getting even more information, you might start seeing patterns develop.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. That's where we're going. That's our kind of our big project coming up. It's going to be more of a community. And with all, being able to comment on other people's dreams to where you can say, hey, this is coming true. Look at this link here. And, yeah, like you mentioned all the types.
I'd be interested to see, for example, Chris, if younger people, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds, are seeing a bright future in their dreams or something catastrophic.
Yeah, I was surprised that I even got some positive stuff out of the dream content. I thought it would just be totally bizarre, negative, dark. I haven't seen that yet. I've seen neutral to positive, and it's very surprising.
Let's go to Joan in Long Island, New York. Hi, Joan. Welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Good evening. It's Joanne.
Oh,
but, my mom's name was Joan, so that's great.
Well, I came close.
And she passed, and I know she's with me, so that's another little reaffirmation that I know she's with me. I'm just calling to say that I'm very aware of this precognitive dream thing. I know a lot of people who have them. When I was a young adolescent myself, I had precognitive dreams. Ordinarily, most of my dreams came true. And one of the dreams that I had was the plane that went down in LaGuardia off the edge of the runway.
That's
into
right.
The water.
Yes.
I saw it 3 days before it happened in a dream. But I was a child at the time. I was only about 10 or 11 years old.
Are you still having precognitive dreams?
Hmm?
Are you still having precognitive dreams?
I, once in a while, but I don't remember most of my dreams anymore. Because because I'm too busy. But I ordinarily now do not remember my dreams. I also dreamt about the assassination of Moshe Dayan. I had no idea who he was. I think I was like a teenager. He was killed, I think. He had an eye patch. He was an Israeli prime minister.
He had an eye patch?
He was killed, wasn't he?
Yitzhak Rabin was killed.
It was him then.
Moshe Dayan, if I remember, was their defense minister. But it was Yitzhak Rabin who got assassinated.
I think it was him. I dreamt about the one who was assassinated.
Yasser Arafat, they say, might have been murdered by some chemicals that they may have put in his...
And the president of Egypt.
That was on Sadat.
Anwar Sadat. I dreamt about his death. a couple of days before he died. This was things like that. And I remember them. I had a dream that my brother was burned. And when I woke up in the morning, it was happening. And that was a scary thing. I saw the whole thing, and I was upstairs sick and sleeping. And when I ran down, everything had left off exactly where it was in the dream when I woke up and was happening.
Well, it sounds like...
she's very tuned in, Chris. That's what she's got.
My sister is even more tuned in than me, if I am at all. My sister has the gift, and she still continues to see things in her dreams that happen. My younger sister.
Did your mother have it, Joanne?
My father did.
Your dad did.
Can you do
my
me a favor?
My mother not so much.
Go ahead,
my
Chris.
My father did.
Can
my
you
father...
do me a favor, Joanne?
Sure. What do you need from
if
me?
If you would tell your sister and to come onto our site, we'd love to have you for Project August. And since you're not remembering your dreams right now, there's Dr. Henry Reed talks about his research into meditation and dream recall. If the more you meditate, the more you remember your dreams. So you might want to try that out.
NationalDreamCenter.com. Is there like a little form there for Chris, for people to fill out?
For Project August?
Or anything you need from them?
Just there's a database, and you start an account, and you plug your dreams in. Project August, then you obviously have to do the procedures, which are very simple, just doing the intention at night. And then whatever dream you have, you come in and record it. It's that simple.
Okay, I like it. Let's go to Richard, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Thanks for calling, Richard. Go ahead.
Hi, Georgia. And
hi, Richard.
I dreamt of the Pakistani and Indian earthquake before it happened, but I was 30 years old, and it was in my 50s when I dreamt that.
Did you know where it would be?
Yeah. No, I didn't.
You
I didn't because I didn't. I don't know land masses, so I didn't know exactly where. In other words, if I would memorize the map, maybe I could have pinpointed it. Yes, and I also dreamt of my friend's death before it happened, and I tried to stop it, but then I thought I'd influence it, you know, in a bad way. I thought she committed suicide. I thought I called her up and I said, I was going to say, are you going to commit suicide by jumping out the window? But I thought if I gave her that idea, she would do it.
Mm.
So I called her up and I didn't say anything, and she hung up and didn't know who it was on the line. So, and then 2 weeks later, she jumped out the window.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah.
You saw it coming.
We have.
Yeah, and I didn't know what to do about it. Even the earthquake, I was thinking maybe I could tell the people to get out of the buildings. And
would they have believed you? Would they have listened to you, though? That's part of the problem.
I don't know, but I was going to give them my phone number. The president of India, I was going to call him up on the phone because they said that you can actually talk to him like I can talk to you. You know, all you have to do is call him. He's not like... You know, like the president of the United States, where you can't call him and get a hold of him.
So if you have his number, you can get to him, huh?
Yeah, but I just didn't put all of it together quick enough to do anything.
Well, that's nothing to be, you know.
I was really depressed about it because, man, I could have saved all those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds exactly like my wife.
Well, let me ask you, though, Chris, how many people would listen? You know, so... If Richard called the head of India and said, the prime minister, you're going to have a major earthquake, all these people are going to die, how many people would believe him? Not a lot.
No, not a lot in today's world, but it's getting better. People know that dreams are true. You know, you have the story about Robert Moss in his book talks about the Lynyrd Skynyrd band, and the backup singer, JoJo Billingsley, had a dream that the band... fell out of the sky and crashed. She begged them not to get on the plane, and they actually took a vote. And the vote went to get on the plane, and then they crashed. To her, she was horrified, obviously. But they actually listened to her, and they took a vote. So it just wasn't swinging far enough over to make a difference. We have to develop, and Robert Moss says it in his book, we have to develop a culture of dreaming in order to survive. It's that critical. And that's what the National Dream Center is all about.
But you also want people who do not remember their dreams, don't you?
No, I said who can barely remember their dreams. Now, if you don't remember, everyone dreams.
Everyone dreams.
It's just a matter of whether or not you can remember them or not. And we have easy methods.
So you don't
like I went through a period of 10, 15 years without a dream. I thought I'd lost the capability to dream. And then one night, I tried the procedures. Boom, I'm dreaming again.
Are there some people who don't remember their dreams at all?
The only people are clinically
Something's wrong
insane.
With them. Something's wrong medically?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have Charles in Los Angeles, first-time caller. Charles, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Nice to talk to you, George.
You too, Charles.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I'd like to make a shout-out to my mom, Michelle, in New York.
There you go.
I was wondering, back in 2000, I suffered a back injury, and I had a bad depression, and I was very heavily medicated. And every now and then, I'm medicated a little here and there, and I have these dreams that come true, but I don't know about it until 4 years later.
When wow, that's an amazing
it.
Time.
And
that's unusual
like only,
for that long. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it seems like it only. I only have these dreams when I'm medicated.
Altered states.
Yeah. We Clara Hill did a lot of research in depression and dream therapy, and I am dead set on when I finally get my psychotherapy degree. And license, I'm going to be doing a lot of dream therapy. For me, it was completely healing. But yeah, there's a lot to be said for drugs typically are leaving, or at least according to one study, are leaving depressed patients still susceptible to their depression. And so therefore, dream therapy is a superior method.
You know, the supplement. Melatonin
right.
gives you wild dreams. Did you know that?
Is that experience?
Oh, yeah. I used to take it. It's a supplement.
Great.
And it's good for relaxing and going to sleep and stuff like that.
That's probably why, because you get to that relaxed state.
But it gives you wild dreams. It's created naturally by the pituitary gland.
Yeah.
But I don't take it anymore. But, I mean, because the dreams are too wild.
Is that why you stopped?
Yeah. You would probably keep going, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
You lieutenant colonels, what can I say? Huh?
I got those boring dreams. In fact, that's what Calvin Hall and Robert Van de Castle pretty much found, is that the majority of these dreams are not these big, bizarre dreams, but rather just the ordinary, boring, drab dreams. That's the norm.
Well, Chris, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, and we're going to take some final phone calls as we talk about precognitive dreams. Couple things, of course, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, as so many people seem to be doing lately. Just get that all by going to Coast to Coast AM. Well, it sure is, and welcome back to Coast AM. On our next program, several major guests talking about events happening all over the planet. As a matter of fact, the entire week you're going to have some cutting-edge programs. And don't forget, Friday night, this program will originate live from Portland, Oregon. So I'm looking forward to that. We're going to come back with Chris McCleary as we talk more about dreams and wrap things up with your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Welcome back to your calls. Chris McCleary with us as we talk about dreams. Chris, would you tell somebody if something horrible was about to happen to them in a dream state that you saw? Would you tell them that? That's
well,
something
it depends.
That's gonna happen?
Yeah, it depends on the person. And I was going to suggest this is a vital topic because we hardly ever talk about it, but a lot of us have these kinds of dreams, and we do not advocate just contacting, especially high level officials. What's going to happen is you'll end up in a psychiatric ward if you try that. What you really need to do is contact us at the National Dream Center. If you have a troubling dream about anybody or yourself, you don't know what to do, you don't know if you should contact the person, you got to give us a call. There's we don't have a phone yet, but or a hotline, but we have a contact form. Contact us, And there's a whole protocol. It really depends on the type of person we're talking about. High-level officials, we've got to do some diplomatic stuff. If it's just a normal person, you got to assess how that person is going to react to what you're saying, because you could devastate somebody who's not ready for that kind of thing.
Well, you probably could. Okay, let's take final calls. We'll go to Salvador in Fargo, North Dakota on the wild card line. Hey, Salvador, thank you.
Hey there, Mr. Gorgonari, and was it Mr. Chris?
Mr. Chris.
All right, awesome. I had a dream. I've had several dreams last year when I was getting into spirituality. And one of the dreams that stuck with me was I was standing on my balcony, and this big dark cloud was coming towards where I was standing on my balcony. And then all of a sudden, I started feeling sleepy, and then I started falling down. And while I was falling down, I knew I was going to die. And I was. It's just funny how much you can think and say inside your mind before you die. And when I finally closed my eyes, it was like I was, it was basically like I woke up right when I closed my eyes. I woke up to this pitch white area. I was just floating there. Didn't know what to do. Didn't know what, you know, I knew I was dead. And started talking to myself, and this voice started telling me I can do whatever I want. And I was just, oh, okay, well, like what? He's like, well, whatever you want. You could just think positive, think about love, and create. So it started making me think that we're kind of like our own creators. Like, we're just like in a school kind of like deal. I don't know how to explain it, but like we're having all these experiences to grow as a soul.
Mm-hmm.
So that, it just kind of made me think, you know, we could be our own creators, and it just beyond what we understand. Just want to see what you guys thought and what Mr. Chris thought about that dream.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that. In fact, my model shows that I talked about before is dreams are our future. And I can, it would just take me too long, but there's no way to get around it. Our dreams are our future. If you want to know more, maybe I'll put that into a post here this week. And I really wanted to get through that, but it would just take too long right now.
I mean,
I agree.
I think, Chris, dreams are incredible. I mean, you can not only predict the future, but you can influence events. I think you can learn things. You can sleep. I mean, remember the old saying, just sleep on it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think there have been many times where you go to sleep with a problem and it's resolved when you wake up. You know, your dream helps you. It works at it. It matures it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very powerful tool, don't you?
Yeah, there's an unlimited amount of ways that you can work with dreams, from therapy to resolving any life problem. In fact, I went through a Dr. Reed's program. It's a 30-day dream solutions. And you can fix just about any problem you can imagine. You can even have your dreams tell you what the problem is. And then 30 days, you incubate these dreams and interpret them in different ways. It's amazing, called Dream Solutions. You can go to National Dream Center, look at our dream store, and it's got his book right there. You can purchase it. I highly recommend it.
So what's new in your field of dream study?
Well, what's new are two things. The trying to extract headlines from our Dreambot, and I just wanted to make sure that everyone knows that the Dreambot is the big kahuna. It goes out and looks at hundreds and thousands of dreams. It comes back linguistically, scientifically, and I look at it. It's just there. I can't do anything with it. I can only interpret it. Then I go into the dreams, and that's when I actually read the content and then kind of match up what I see with the actual literal content to the linguistics. So I know it's kind of convoluted. But the other thing that we're doing, at least in the world today, in the dream world, where I want to go is the usefulness of dreams. And one of those ways is dream therapy.
What's dream therapy?
You take any psychological order. Right now, I think the majority of the studies was still relatively scant, and this is not a hit on Clara Hill, but she's done quite an amazing amount of quantitative dream study research into therapy. It's mostly associated with depression. But so I'm interested in knowing about other psychological problems and whether or not dreams can really take care of that. Dreams just seem to be, of course, you have to have the right person, because if the person doesn't value dreams, then, you know, it's just totally lost.
And there are some out there that don't, probably.
Yeah, right? Yeah, of course.
That happens.
The kingpin on dream research is the International Association for the Study of Dreams. There is no other organization higher than them, and they are absolutely the highest that you can get on dream research, so you can go to their site. We have a link on our website if you want to get there.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Joanne is in Apple Valley, Minnesota. Hello, Joanne.
Hello, and Godspeed to both of you.
You too.
Thank you.
I had dreams about the Space Shuttle Challenger, about it blowing up months before it happened, and the day that it happened. I've dreamt about two school shootings. I dreamt about a tornado 2 years before my father was in it. I've dreamt about drones back in the 1970s. That is just now coming to pass. And I had a funny dream, too, that the screener thought would be a funny antidote. And this is a true story. I dreamt that there was a bear hitchhiking out of a national park, and the next morning I woke up and on the news there was a story of a bear that got on top of a family vehicle out of a national park. So I just thought I'd share with you that I've had numerous dreams.
Well, we
have come to pass.
We're inviting you over to the National Dream Center. It looks like your dreams come true quite a bit. So I would, if you got that intuition that says, hey, this is another one of those dreams, do you have that intuition that says, hey, this is one of those dreams that comes true? Do you have that often?
I had a dream about bridges falling in Minnesota. We did have one collapse, but I actually had dreamt of more bridges. I dreamt about a building before it was born in St. Paul, and that was accurate. They built it as I saw it. So, and just this morning, I actually had a dream that I did not remember that I felt was important with multiple people in it, crowds of people. And that's all I remember. And I just remember waking up, hey, I wish I'd remember that dream. Something seemed important, but I couldn't remember it at all.
Well, my suggestion to you is you sound like very talented dreamer, just like my wife, and we would love to have your dreams. If you're willing to go to the website and start your account, and just if you dream of something, you just toss it in there, and if it comes true, then we can kind of talk about it and learn from it.
What would you do if a million people all submitted their dreams? Would you be able to handle that amount of volume?
Yeah, I think so. I've already decided that I'm going to upgrade the database. It's just not conducive to what we want to do on our extra projects. But yeah, I mean, it would support it. I'm thinking the fall time frame is when that new database will be done. But it shouldn't matter.
Let's go to Gary in Manteca, California, west of the Rockies. Gary, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi, Gary.
I love the show. Long time listener.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I've had many, many dreams that have come true, and if there's time, I'll tell you about the two most dramatic ones.
All right.
When I was a kid, I was really obsessed with motorcycles. I just loved them. And my parents would tell me that I would wake up in the middle of the night screaming. I had this one dream about being in a motorcycle accident where I went off a cliff. And that happened like 5 times between the age of 6 and 12, and because of that, my parents said I could never have a motorcycle. Fast forward to when I was 18 and going to college, I was riding a bicycle 7.5 miles each way, twice a day, 3 times a week, and once a day, twice a week, to get to college. So my parents decided I needed transportation. They couldn't afford a car, so they bought me a motorcycle.
Oh, boy.
Right? So 3 months later, I was out of school, and I was riding back long way through some hills in the East Bay, here, San Francisco Bay Area. And I thought I was Rodney Road Race, and I was going pretty fast. And I hit this one left-hand turn, and it was full of gravel. And I was sliding sideways, about to go off the cliff, and hundreds of feet below was a reservoir, and it was just covered with trees all the way down. And I was sliding sideways towards it, and I got a quick flash that if I hit the embankment sideways before I went off, I'd lose my leg. So I straightened the bike out and hit it straight on, because I knew it was going over anyway. And I went up in the air, and I said, oh, this is it, I'm dead. I got to see my life flash before my eyes. It was like a videotape being played on Fast Forward with all the highlights and stuff. The bike and I hit partway down and separated, and I tumbled head over heels and hit flat on my back on an asphalt fire road, which the rescuer said was 60 feet down.
Golly.
And collapsed my lungs, and my first thought was that I was dead because I couldn't see or hear or feel anything. And then I realized I started to get panicked because I said, well, wait a minute, how come I'm thinking? Maybe I'm not dead. And then I realized somebody was shouting at me, hey, are you okay? Are you okay down there?
Wow.
And I realized I could see, but I was looking at a seamless blue sky with no contrast. And about that time that I was hearing and seeing, my lungs popped back up, and I was breathing like this.
Wow.
And the guy says, are you okay? And I said, I don't know. And he says, don't move. People are on the way. And I was sitting up anyway and feeling my arms and legs. And
holy,
I think the Rangers
cow
arrived first, and then the fire department and the CHP. And everybody who showed up had to take turns feeling my bones because they were sure I was in shock and just not aware of my injuries. And I'm standing up and walking around and talking, and the firemen were checking me out right at that point. I said, wow, this is just like a dream I had over and over again when I was a kid.
Wow.
And, of course, they looked at each other thinking I was nuts. And I said, in the dream, my watch came off, and I pulled up my sleeve, and my watch was gone.
Ah.
I said, in the dream, it was right there, and I turned and pointed up the cliff.
And there it was.
I pointed exactly right at it.
That's
wow. Wow, that's
and,
really
and
cool.
And I tried to go up after it, but they stopped me, and the fireman went and got it.
Did the dream save you, Gary, in your opinion? The dream from your boy, your youth?
I don't know, because in the dream, I just went off the cliff, but I don't remember that the dream had me turn the bike towards the embankment
right. Instead
of hitting it sideways.
See, that would have been dramatic. Chris, in the moments we have, we'll take a few more quick calls. Gary, thank you for yours.
Yes, thank you. That was an amazing
story. You can save yourself if you interpret it the right way, can't you, in a dream?
Well, absolutely, yeah.
And what if you can't?
You're screwed.
Then you got a problem. Let's go to Netta in Las Vegas, Nevada, first-time caller. Hi, Netta.
Hi, George. What a pleasure to speak with you.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've had many, many dreams throughout my life, like the rest of the callers, most of the callers have said. But there's two that really stand out in my mind, and the one that really bothers me the most was when the Challenger exploded.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in L.A. at the time, and I had a dream about a week before it exploded. And I saw a spaceship go up, and I saw it explode.
Oh, boy.
And I told my husband about the dream, and he knew that I had many dreams throughout my life that came true. And he says, well, who are you going to tell? Who's going to believe you? And I said, well, maybe I should call NASA. Maybe I should tell somebody. And then I never told anyone. And then when it happened, it really, really tremendously upset me. I couldn't even leave the house. I just was glued to the TV, and I felt so guilty about it that I felt I could have done something to stop that.
Yeah, and those kinds of dreams, that's exactly what we want to get to at a humanity level. That's my vision, is to honor these dreams. This is the warehouse of where those dreams go, and you have to do it right away, and we look at that, and in the future, we'll be able to do like the DreamBot, we'll be able, hopefully, be able to catch something like that to where we hone in. We go, oh, we need to read the actual dream content to get the details. And then as a humanity, we can prevent those via intention, resonant intention, just like our friend Dean Radin and the Entangled Minds and all the studies at Pear Lab. Intentions matter, and particularly when we're all on the same page. But we would have to know that in advance, and we would also have to have a lot of credibility, and that's what Project August is hopefully going to start down that train, is that we gain some credibility for precognition. We know what the event is, where it's going to happen, and now we can get humanity at a collective level, you know, have hundreds of thousands of people intending to prevent or put a, maybe intend to put a protective bubble around Columbus as it goes up.
Are you going to have a Project September and then October?
No, that's too quick. I'm going to have to read the dreams afterwards to see what I missed. You know, like after August is done, I've got to go back through the dreams to see if I missed something and why I missed it and kind of, you know, fine-tune my process.
Chris, would you supply our executive producer, Lisa, with a list of these headlines as soon as you hone in on more of them as we get close to the month of August so we can post it on our website with a link for yours?
Well, see, here's the problem. I can give her the password. Right now it's passworded, and they already had the first report. And the rule is now, because I don't want to taint the waters, I only give the report out to people who submit Project August Dreams. So if you post it publicly on your site...
What will that do?
I'm afraid that it might...
Does it taint the study?
Well, in a way it does, because now you've got people who read horror, you know, horrible headlines, and then they go dream about it because of the day rescue.
I see. So it could skew... exactly what's going on. Understand. Well, we'll try to figure out something, Chris, because I'd love to get the data in order to know what's going to happen. Thank you for being on the program. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safer.